Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about American sovereignty is at stake. Are we losing our sovereignty in the United States of America? We'll be looking at that further in just a moment, but I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. My name is Robert, and I was calling. I got a couple things for you. One, you know, LGBT means Liberty, Guns, Bible, and Trump. The other thing is I thought there's a little something, a sense of humor out of it. The other thing is, my sister is in the medical field where she was. She lives in one of them liberal states. And her and I kind of got into it about the mask, and she said that that 40% deal is wrong. And I said, but you know, that virus can come through that, because I think, what is it, a one, and the mask is a three. She said, but you don't know which one it is. So, I mean, how, and she's a Christian. She's bought into this stuff. What can I do?
Well, number one, pray that our eyes would be open. Number two, let me just go back to some statistical facts. I've researched it on CDC website. I've researched it on the OSHA website. I have followed behind the writings of groups of those epidemiologists and serious-minded physicians that all disavow, disallow, and reject the fact that a mask can be helpful. In fact, you know, the Supreme Court in Michigan, Supreme Court of Michigan, with a 7-0 ruling, just overruled the Michigan governor that had the mask mandate in place. And one writing yesterday on yesterday's online news, an attorney was issuing a notice to all the people: take your mask off, burn your mask, go back to work, open your business, et cetera, et cetera. But going back to the scientific finding on it, OSHA website, I've got probably 2-3 dozen articles on that subject. One of them was the OSHA website that gave the understanding of the different masks, the regular cotton mask, the 95, and the regular respiratory style mask. It's got the big outlandish, out of space look to it, and used each one of those as an illustration, and said the best one of the mask is like putting a chain link fence over your face to keep the mosquitoes out. And here's the bottom line: the pathogen itself is 1/10 of a micron, 1/10 of a micron. The smallest opening in the very best mask is 3 microns. So the question is, can a 1/10 item go through a 3 micron opening? The answer is yes. When you look at a, I would challenge anybody listening to buy a box of masks, whatever mask you want to buy. Look at it, and on the side of the mask, it warns you that the mask is not good for more than 2 to 4 hours. And yet we find people putting them in the glove box, putting them in the hip pocket, putting them in the truck door box, or just wearing a bandana, pulling it up over the nose and the mouth. And I watched one the other day pull it out of the pocket and just literally shake it, dust it off, to then put it on their face to walk into a store. It is can reduce the oxygen level, can reduce the oxygen level up to 40%. And by doing that, you can set in the onset of anemia. You can cause the brain to start malfunctioning. It will slow down the agility. It'll slow down the thinking process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, I just mentioned to someone very recently that a year from now, 2 years from now, I think that we're going to find a major, major, major number of people with lung and mental capacity depletions as a result of what's being done today, where people simply become sheeple and put the mask on because some wannabe dictator, governor, or mayor says to do so. Yes, I believe that it's absolutely detrimental to the health, and anybody can go online and Google or use any other device that you'd like to rather than Google. I don't necessarily like Google because of who they are, but you can go online and do the research and just ask Google or ask the online researcher something about the scientific studies about masks and the efficacy of using masks. And you'll find that we're being lied to by CDC. CDC is part of the global governance mentality. CDC is controlled by World Health Organization. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx being on the board with the foundation, with the Bill and Melinda Gates, and they have a goal. They have a modus operandi in carrying out that goal. And so, yes, there are a lot of folks, the medical professionals, have been absolutely inundated with simply believing what's so-called scientific. That's what worries me about Joe Biden. Joe Biden says if he's elected as president, he will simply make the decision based on what the science tell him. Well, what scientists are you going to listen to? What science will you adhere to? That means that if he is elected as president, he'll be the puppet, and those wearing white jackets out of CDC and out of the World Health Organization will literally become the dictatorial leadership and the guide point for all of American governance. I'm against that. So I believe that there is a real need for you to recognize that your sister may be well-intended but off target with what she's believing and simply accepting on the face of it of what the CDC and the World Health Organization says. But you're exactly right. There's a need for people to wake up and understand that we're being deceived. Thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about America's sovereignty is at stake. Our sovereignty is on the hanging in the balance today. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find our constitutional sovereignty hanging in the balance. But if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris is elected and they go into their position of leadership, we will no longer have a free America. A Biden administration will institute the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal, ladies and gentlemen, where do you think the Green New Deal, which would be about $100 trillion to implement it over a 10-year period of time, according to the best mathematicians, the best economists that have studied that, about $100 trillion, and it would be absolutely disseminated, controlled, policed by the authority through the United Nations, not the United States government. In fact, even the Pope has gotten in on the act and has been for several years trying to put together a total global governance. And by the way, it was George H.W. Bush 1, that in his inaugural address, he used the term one world order 8 times. One world order 8 times. That was the same goal of William Jefferson Clinton, Slick Willie. That was the same goal of Barack Hussein Obama. That's been the same goal of just about all of the recent Democratic presidents that we've had in the United States of America. Here's an article that says Pope Francis called for one world government to save all of humanity. The Pope has argued that the creation of a one world government is needed to combat major issues like COVID-19 and climate change. Pope Francis called for the one world government and political authority this week, arguing that the creation of one world government is needed to combat all of the major issues, including climate change and COVID-19. Ladies and gentlemen, if we have the election of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, as the President, Vice President of the United States of America, yes, our absolute constitutional republic, our form of government as we know it today, a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, will absolutely be destroyed. It will be eviscerated. It will be no more. There will be no efficacy in anything that's called a Bill of Rights for the protection of we, the people. The UN will control our medical care, ladies and gentlemen, and social distancing, along with the COVID pass, i.e., that is the tracking and the enforcement of the future based on Bill Gates' vaccination. Listen very carefully at this one thought. If we allow Joe Biden to be president, he's already said hundreds and hundreds of times, philosophically, maybe not actually, but dozens of times, multitudinous times, that he would let the science determine what he does. You can just bet your boots, as I call it philosophically speaking, that Joe Biden will institute immediately upon being sworn into office a mask mandate for all of humanity. When the COVID-19 vaccination is out, the one that is produced by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation controlled pharmaceutical houses, there's about 9 that's in the running today, about 6 that's in pretty fast track. 3 or 4 of those are owned, operated, and controlled by, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And ladies and gentlemen, their vaccine, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation sponsored, controlled, paid for vaccination, will be required for all of humanity. It will be enforced through the World Health Organization. That takes the sovereign control of our medical care out of the hands of the United States of America. Social medicine, ladies and gentlemen, takes the medical care out of the hands of the federal government. It puts it directly in the hands of the World Health Organization and what WHO says would be best for the United States of America and other nations. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
It's interesting you bring up health care at such a time. It's a friend of mine years back pointed to the system in Cuba and how wonderful that was because they have socialized medicine and nobody's denied care. And I thought, even then, well, nobody's denied care here. However, there's a responsibility to pay for that. We cannot, enslave or compel servitude of one person on behalf of another. You know, that would, in the Bible, we would call that charity. But when government compels it, it's called slavery. You know, you can't, you know, or theft, one or the other. If you steal somebody's time or enslave them, compel them to perform a duty on somebody else's behalf, that's not right. If that person willingly, freely gives of themselves, that's called charity. So for every believer out there that's confused as to the difference between the two, I challenge you to reread your scripture, reread the story of the Good Samaritan. Government didn't come along and say, hey, we're going to tax you and we're going to help this fellow that's injured on the street. Government didn't say, hey, we're going to force you to help this fellow, take him somewhere and get him care. No, the Good Samaritan chose to, on his own behalf, be charitable with his money and his time and his resources. Nonetheless, I think we need to take a break for just a moment. The subject matter you're covering is extremely important, but I'm not sure if you touched on Columbus Day being today. And somehow or another, people have vilified Columbus. They've actually, you know, painted statues of him, torn up statues, dropped a statue of him into a river, I think, recently. The insanity of it all is these same individuals advocate for something they call Indigenous Peoples Day. Mm-hmm. They don't quite understand their history, I think, because many of these Indigenous peoples, they wouldn't want to celebrate either. Constant Contact via William Federer, he wrote a piece on even Cortez, and Cortez was not a nice guy, all right, from a conquistador standpoint and the conquering, you know, man that he was. However, if you look at the history of Cortez, you'll find that as he entered the Americas, he ran up on Indigenous peoples. And this is what was written about those peoples and what Cortez saw. He saw prisoners with their hearts cut out, pyramid-style temples covered with human blood of bodies of men and boys without arms or legs. He saw human skulls stacked on poles. By the way, one village they came into, it was like 130,000 or 160,000 skulls that they counted. Hundreds of thousands of human skulls arranged in piles, gnawed human bones in piles, piled in houses and streets, wooden houses built with grates, jammed with captives awaiting sacrifice, pagan priests whose hair was matted with dried blood and the stench of carrion, sodomy, and sacrificed humans rolled down temple steps where frenzied hordes ate them. So whenever you start going down this Indigenous people's path, folks, and you want to sacrifice Columbus Day, you need to really do your research and see if that's really what you want to embrace. And, you know, back on your subject matter, you have to see whether or not you want to embrace a politicized Article 3 judiciary.
Well, Greg, if I could jump in for just a moment, what you're talking about with the Indigenous People Day and the removal of Columbus Day, or officially not wanting to recognize Columbus, that's part and parcel of the dismantling of the history of the United States of America, and thus getting the people prepared to be ushered into a one world order, a global governance, which would absolutely destroy the sovereignty of the United States of America. That is the focus that I believe that our listeners need to understand. It is each piece of the puzzle, just as you mentioned about Columbus Day versus Indigenous People Day, and what we're looking at with the social medicine, the free education, the dismantling of the police departments, confiscation of weapons. All of this is piece by piece. And speak of the subject, what are your thoughts on the fact that what we're seeing is the scattering of our focus? It's focused on the guns, it's focused on the health care, focused on the free education, focused on the rioting in the streets. What is that big picture, Greg, that we need to focus on as Americans, as we the people today consider where we're going as a nation?
I see Democrat strategy, socialist strategy, Marxist strategy historically as being a divide and conquer strategy.
Yes, that's
they
right.
Created a series of diverse constituencies. Interestingly enough, sometimes those diverse constituencies that are at odds with one another. However, each constituency they create, they say, we're here to help you. And they don't tell their history. They don't back up and say, this is what our party has done for you in the past, because their party, the Democratic Party, has done nothing for those people in the past. It seems like Black America, even my brothers and sisters in Christ that happen to have more melanin in their skin than I have, many times they'll vote Democrat, 94%, 95%. However, the history of the Democratic Party is an evil history. The Dred Scott decision in the 1800s that said that a black man or a black woman is not a U.S. citizen and doesn't qualify to be a U.S. citizen. That decision was a 7-2 decision where the 7 Democrats on the court chose to not recognize a black person as an American citizen. If you fast forward 11 years from that decision, the 14th Amendment cured that. And it said that those individuals, former slaves or not, if you're born in America, you're an American citizen. The 14th Amendment was also fought tooth and nail by Democrats. They refused to support the 14th Amendment. They refused to support the 13th Amendment that freed the slaves. And those were Democrats, folks. So Democrats have a legacy of doing things.
It was the Democrats that fomented the origination of the KKK.
And yes, and that KKK was very interesting. They fought against both blacks and whites that happened to be Republicans. They fought against anything that would grant equal rights, equal privileges.
It was the original design purpose of suppressing the vote.
Yes, and that continued for many, 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 many decades. That continues today. It's a radical position, and it's amazing how Joe Biden, over and over, his henchmen keep saying, well, Donald Trump won't disavow white supremacy. And, you know, he's done that over and over and over. Why is it put to Joe Biden? Well, he denounced white supremacy. He's the one that spoke glowingly about Robert Byrd, that former Klansman recruiter, Grand Cyclops, or whatever they call it, of the Ku Klux Klan. That man was an icon to Joe Biden. He was an icon to Hillary Clinton. Why is it that Democrats are never put on the heels of that dilemma? It's amazing the contrast, the hypocrisy. Look back to this hearing this morning. The education, the civics education versus the politics education, was grand. Ben Sasse did a very good job in a review of the difference between civics and politics. Civics, we understand the construct of government, how government is supposed to work, how constitutional governance is supposed to work. We have Articles 1, 2, and 3 covering the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. If you step back in time, pre-16th and 17th Amendment, the Senate was appointed by the state houses to represent the states in D.C. The House of Representatives was called the People's House of Representatives. It was the only democratically elected body at the federal level. That was where, if you will, the frothiness of politics was to take place. The Senate was to be the cooler to make sure that the states maintained their status, because the states created the federal government and not vice versa. However, today, if you're a Democrat, you want for everything to be political. A body, the judiciary, our judges, should be apolitical, non-political. They shouldn't have a political bone in their body, if you will, when it comes to their decision-making, because their oath is to follow the letter of the law and the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. When Ruth Bader Ginsburg was appointed and approved by the Senate, she received 96 or 97 votes. You literally had members on both sides that said, hey, on the Republican side, they go, this woman may be an activist. She may be charged. She may be the ACLU type that we don't like, but she's eminently qualified. Therefore, we will approve her. They didn't have the litmus test, if you will, that would have blocked her nomination. However, today, you know, Amy Coney Barrett is tagged as the dogma, speaking loudly from within her. And her biblical beliefs, her being a Catholic, somehow or another makes her personified evil. Now, Joe Biden claims he's a Catholic. Kamala Harris claims that she's a, get this, a religious person. I'm not sure what that means, just person. However, they every single day within the henchmen of the Democratic Party assault people based upon their values, their Christian values, their moral values, their biblical values. And I think that's one of Amy Coney Barrett's greatest assets, is she has a mooring, she has a foundation. This nation has the same mooring, the same foundation, and her oath has been unshaken thus far. I pray that it stays that way. I pray that it stays that way. But her decisions have been decisions based on the law. What does the law say? And that's what's important. They haven't been activist decisions that are political decisions. Ted Cruz covered very well how politics should remain in the House and the Senate, that once we corrupt the judiciary with politics, there's no turning back. Then one administration, after we go to packing the court, each administration may choose to pack the court further. We may end up with a 50 or 100 member court because each administration chooses, you know, I have power now. Let me pack the court and get the political decisions that I want. Things that Democrats have never been able to do politically, they have done within the courts.
That's the goal and the purpose with packing the courts. And Greg, one of the things that comes to mind when we think about the loss of the sovereignty of the United States of America, you perhaps remember back in, I believe it was 2013, when what was called the Venezuela Conference. No, it was in 1992, the Venezuela Conference, when it was determined the United Nations passed something called the Agenda 21. In fact, President George H.W. Bush was publicly in support of that. He gave his support for it. It's, and I'm reading a portion from an article. It referred to something called the sustainable development and seemed to be concerned with protecting the planet by limiting and controlling the development of corporate and personal structures. As I pursued this effort, this writer says, I saw the rural development was going to start being restricted to simply being where the train tracks are. Going further, says the United Nations Agenda 21 passed in 1992 without any particular fanfare. The media was almost completely silent about it, and it continues today to regulate the Agenda 2021 in mention, if mentioned at all, very little. Including the Agenda 21 is plans to high-speed trains nationwide, and in their Agenda 21 with the high-speed trains nationwide and then going in and building gigantic apartment complexes on both sides of the railroad track, then displacing farmers and rural people into the inner-city urban stacked houses, et cetera, et cetera. It will take away property rights, and through Agenda 21, it is what is being put into place today across America, and George H.W. Bush, William Jefferson Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama all were in full agreement with the incremental approach to Agenda 21 to take the sovereignty of the United States of America and place it solely, squarely in the hands of the United Nations. In fact, this article states, very interesting, further investigation reveals that the Clintons and the Bushes approve of Agenda 21 and also approve its development of a one-world governmental system. Barack Hussein Obama was also supportive of Agenda 21 effort with the OWG plan, that's one-world government, and approval and funding coming from our own federal government as well as funding from the local governments, but being implemented by the United Nations. And that is what I believe that is taking place today. And it's not a conspiracy theorist. You can go back and study Agenda 21. And every piece of the puzzle of Agenda 21 is that which is being pushed now by the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, including free education, social medicine, no borders. George Soros is funding all of the fanfare that's taking place with the riots, the looting, the burnings, and the bombings across America today in order to dismantle our system of governance in the United States of America. It is the same approach, Greg, that Hitler used with the brown shirts. Antifa is the same modus operandi that's being used, that Hitler had used then, and it would be to divide the United States of America so that you're pitting one group against the other, so that it weakens our nation, so that it can be overtaken with the destruction of our fundamental foundation. How do you respond to those statements?
Well, the number one driver of decisions is fear. Literally, you know, people fear the fact that one day they'll die, so they're willing to buy all sorts of things in preparation for that fear. If they fear that a criminal is going to break in, they'll buy an alarm system, or they'll buy a dog. A dog is much better than the alarm system. A gun is better than the dog. I say that because the research shows that the number one deterrent for a violent criminal is an armed victim. How do you like that, folks? The second best deterrent for a violent criminal is a dog. Way down the list is the alarm system and even the police arriving. Nonetheless, the point is well made that the One World Government System, the New World Order, AOC's Green New Deal, and Agenda 21, they all play into one another. They're all about a weakened United States. And literally, it's a standing upside down of the E Pluribus Unum, you know, out of many one. They want to balkanize us and make men one, divide us into all these little segments, because in that division, they can then conquer one group after another, and they can have their absolute power. With Agenda 21, you're absolutely right. They would like to have major metro areas for humans. And if you read and study behind that, you'll find that they think that a lion needs 700 acres or better of land to roam. However, they would like to confine a human being to about 600 square feet in an apartment. And they would like to take that human being's ability, their freedom, away. They don't want the internal combustion engine. They cannot stand the freedom associated with cars and motorcycles and trucks and vans. They would love for everyone to be on a metro rail, because they can also then control when you come and when you go. You see that biblically that plays out. That one world governance will be in place at the time of the Antichrist.
That's right.
And think of what will it take for the United States just to become one of a pool of nations, one of a group of nations, and not the superpower we are today. I believe that day comes when there's economic collapse. Many people study different ways. You know, what will be the straw that breaks the camel's back? When will we fail as a society? Azur Titler, also known as Lord Woodhouse, has the Titler cycle, and he talks about democracies only lasting 200 to 250 years. Well, folks, first off, we weren't founded as a democracy, but since 1913, we've taken a hard left turn and gone down the path of democracy for the past 107 years. I say 1913, that was Woodrow Wilson. I like Glenn Beck's comments. I hate that guy. Woodrow Wilson was an absolute evil wretch that occupied the White House.
We've got about 30 seconds left on the broadcast today. Let me say, for each of our listeners today, we as Christians need to pray seriously, look up, and lift up our heads, because I believe God is at work, and we need to pray that God will divinely intervene and put Trump back in office. Give a final comment for our last 10 seconds, Greg.
Believe the big lie. Right view, believe the big lie. Joseph Goebbels said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Don't believe it. Don't give in. Do your own homework, folks. Do your research, and don't be a second-class citizen.
Amen.
Be salt and light in the community around us.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.